can't get enough of your love, Lord. His presence. Don't you love his presence? Amen. Just love to bask in his presence. I had a thought about the whole idea that oftentimes there's that urge to move on. You know, you're reading your Bible and there's an urge to better get going. You're praying and, well, you know you've got other things to do. No. And I decided to fight that with just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer with my Lord. Because if you've never had that urge to get going, that it's time to go. You know? We can get to church and then it just comes that moment where we've got to look at our watch and figure it out, you know? Got to get going. Right now, I got to get this going. What am I on here? Bedtime mode is now off. Time to get going. The watch has a bedtime mode so that the light doesn't come on every time I lift my arm. Sometimes it wakes me up if I lift my arm. I don't like to be woke up, you know. But anyway, you know, there's just that thing of I got other things to do. And yet we can sit and watch TV and we got nothing else to do. You know? Hours sometimes. Just kind of watching. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the thing is that I've very seldom been watching TV and said, oh, I gotta do something. Unless my watch buzzed or it happened to occur to me, oh, the food truck's over there, or whatever, you know. I mean, we can be doing a lot of things and not be disturbed. But when we're seeking the Lord, there's just things to do. And so we'll just seek him a little longer. We'll aim higher, right? We'll just aim higher. Last week, you know, we talked about retiring from worthless things. And I was thinking about that, and you know, I ended that saying that the Lord could probably help me in my garage too, and you know, and there's a lot of things that actually are worthless, and useless is not as bad as worthless. Some things that are useless could become useful later. But some things are just worthless. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, but some things just don't qualify at all, you know. But there are things that we run into that, you know, we might think they're useless, but it's not really, it's not so bad that it might not be usable sometime. And we can't begrudge anyone useless things. Because the truth of the matter is that we can the Lord can speak things to us as we study our Bible. And it speaks to us and we can't figure out exactly how it could be useful. I mean, we know God doesn't speak worthless words and that nothing that he says is useless, but Sometimes it's like we can't figure out how to put it into gear, but we can hold on to that because somewhere down the line it's very possible that that word will come up again and it'll be like, now I see it. You know? And so the anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's worthless. But things that we don't quite understand, that doesn't mean they're useless. We just don't know how to use them at this point. And so I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but it made perfect sense to me. And God even brought an illustration to my mind of when I was first saved, and my cousin said, "Do you speak in tongues?" And I said, "I don't even know that there is such a thing." And to me, that was sort of useless. But it wasn't thrown away. And it was right there when the Lord brought it up. And that thing that was not useful when I didn't understand it became something that helped me to aim higher and continues to help me to aim higher. Praying at all times in the Spirit. I wish I did. I work at it. And then sometimes I find myself telling myself, "Wait a minute, you should be praying in the Spirit." You know? And that's a very useful thing. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we speak to God. That's what the Bible says. It says we speak to God. And yet, there are lots of people that put that in the worthless pile. It's no longer necessary. It died with the apostles. Those are church doctrines in some cases, you know. So sometimes it's the doctrine that's worthless. There's some worthless things, and it's very difficult. Once those have their clutches on people, it's very difficult for them to throw them. And it's very difficult to even render them useless. They're worthless, but you can't hold on to them. What if somebody knew? If you got something that God has given you that causes you to wonder, what if somebody knew? That's worthless. Let it fly in the sky. Let the whole world know that the King is in residence here. You see, we have to overcome those things that keep us back from God. You see, Paul wrote and you know, and he said we should be straining toward the prize. You know, we're straining because we want to aim higher. And the thing is not in order to get into heaven, it's to enter heaven with an entourage. You know? And it doesn't matter if our entourage is one person. One person that God needed reached, and we're the person that reaches them because God chose us to reach them. You know? We just don't know, but we can look forward to that. Straining for that. Because a million, a billion, one person. One person. You know? See, a lot of times people will come to the Lord and they'll immediately write themselves off, you know. What could I do? I couldn't do anything. In the same sense, some folks think that if they can't do something that's going to affect a whole lot of people, well, then what use are they? You know that the most important thing we do is love God. Love God. And out of that love will flow the presence of God that will reveal the goodness of God to other people. To the point where someone might come and say, "Why do you have so much peace? What are you happy about? Well, I'm happiest about the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that can be joy, and a lot of things that we can care about, but those aren't our ultimate aim. We're straining toward the prize. Not for prizes, it's just that there's a prize. The prize is Christ. Our life is wrapped up in Christ. It's not wrapped up in doing more, because in doing more we can become discouraged, because we're doing more and we don't feel like we're accomplishing anything. But our faith says we're accomplishing a great deal, you know. So what are we going to believe? What are we going to believe? So anyway, our goal is Him. That's it. Paul said that I may know Him. Not know about Him, know Him. Because you see, Paul knew all about God. He just missed a very important part of God. Jesus. You know? He knew a Messiah would come. But he joined a whole bunch of people that said, this one can't be the Messiah. Until he met Him and Jesus said, what are you doing, man? Paul said, well, who are you? I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Seriously? And he had a 3-day doctorate that he came out of and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know? Those whoa moments with Jesus are amazing. You know? We need to just, there's no moment with Jesus that's not amazing. We just got to pay attention. We got to pay attention. So we want to know Him more each day. Say, Lord, I want to know You. I mean, I want to know You more. I want to know You more. I don't know You enough, Lord. There isn't such a thing as enough. There's more. There's more to Jesus. There's no high like the Most High, and there's more to Jesus. There's more. There's more. He's more gooder than we know. He just keeps getting more gooder. He really does. You know? What the enemy wants us to do is close our eyes to that. The enemy wants us to coast. You know? Just coast. It's like on the motorcycle. Just put your motorcycle in neutral and coast down Blunt Hill. But when you read the book about the motorcycle, they say, don't do that. Just ride the thing. You aren't going to save gas. You know? You aren't going to too much. You know? But I mean, I think I'll coast today. Man, coasting, that might be the very day that there was a revelation that was going to just be more than you could even imagine, and you were coasting. You know, and we can be determined to coast. Not doing nothing today. You know? Just coasting. Well, it's okay if you want to coast, just coast with Jesus. There's no place for that. Coasting would fall under worthless. See, coasting and resting are not the same thing. Resting in the Lord is a whole different thing. But you know, just, I'll get back to my devotions tomorrow. Today, I'm going to take the day off. Let me encourage you that if that comes into your mind, get excited. Get very excited. There's something waiting for me. Something, you know. So, aim higher. Keep aiming higher. You know, I always say that I think it was Sly and the Family Stone, "Let Me Take You Higher." Now I know that people say, "Well, it was a drug song," you know. But I can hear Jesus saying to me, "Let me take you higher. Let me take you higher." It's like I said last week, the idea of retiring from worthless things was an answer to a lot of the things that I was praying and asking God for. You know, wanting more, wanting to know Him more. Not anything more than wanting to know Him more. And guarding myself against coasting, or guarding myself against thinking, well, you know, it doesn't have to be so intense. It just the thought of it caused me to go, whoa, and that's why God said, okay, just retire from worthless things. You see, those things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God are worthless. No matter how good they may present themselves, they're worthless. And so we move on like that. I like in verse 16 of Philippians 3, Paul says that basically that we need to live up to what we've already attained. You know? Let's live up to what we've attained. Because we've attained something. We've sought. We've worshiped, we've praised, we've given, we've done all kinds of things, and we've got our understanding, we've got knowledge that we don't know about. Let's just live up to it. Press toward the mark for the prize. Let's live up to that. To aim higher. We haven't gone far enough. We aren't where we want to be. We're not standing before the Lord with an entourage waiting for us. You know, there might be so many people waiting for you that you've touched that you don't know that you've touched, that you've been a part of, that it's been accounted to you as righteousness. And we don't keep the score because we don't know the score. We just keep close to the scorekeeper. We keep an eye to the sky, to the Lord. We turn our eyes upon Jesus and we look full in His wonderful face. And the cares of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We keep moving to that. We worship and we worship when we worship. We consider when we worship, "You're so good to me. You're so good to me." We don't want to just be singing a song. We want to be worshiping. We want to be considering. You know, you're the way maker. You're a miracle worker. You know, you're a promise keeper. You're a light in the darkness. That's who He is. That's who He is. And so when we sing that song, we're thinking about that. And we're thinking oftentimes when I'm worshiping, "You are the God that healeth me." And I'm thinking about, yeah. I'm thinking about, my wife doesn't need to be worried about the timing. I don't need to be worried about the timing. I need to be rejoicing in who He is. You know? See, remember last week we mentioned the fact that we know that nothing's impossible for God. And we know exactly that what He desires for us. We know that He does. We just don't know the timing. You know, we just don't know the timing. You know, someday, one of my college classmates had told Vicky, and Vicky shared that with me, that he said they don't buy presents for the grandkids. They just give money for their college education. Now, when the grandkids are little, they don't know anything about it. It won't matter. When they get a little older, they're going to think, what good is that now? You know, someday I'm going to get that. What good is that? Then they get a little older and they start thinking, you know, I remember Jerry Savelle talking about, he'd hold the little baby grandkid and he'd say, oh, you're going to love your grandpa. One day you're going to have this. And as his kid, grandkids grew older, it didn't mean anything to them. And then all of a sudden they knew something and they'd say, Grandpa, how much is in my account? You know, how much is in my account? Then they start thinking about timing a little bit, probably, you know. But they trusted Grandpa. Well, we can trust our Father. We can trust him with the timing. Can he trust us to believe him? Can he trust us to wait upon the Lord? He's coming. Oh, he's coming. He's coming. Oh, he's coming. I was caught up in the idea of when God created the earth, you know, did he just go, light be? Or was he out there going, light be? Say, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. You know? What was he doing? Oh, God wouldn't be doing, why wouldn't God be doing that? You know? People laughed at Benny Hinn, but maybe that's what he was doing, sweeping the crowd. I don't know, you know. But, you know, somehow I just sort of got the idea that that would have been exciting to watch, that God made it. Forgive me for this. No, don't forgive me for this. I think God is a showman. I think that the greatest show on earth started with him. I think he's got it. And I think he wants to get our attention to come to the show. You know? So we're barkers out in front. I remember when the carnival used to come to town, you know? And they're out there trying to get people into the tent, trying to get people into a tent that they wouldn't let me into, you know? Come and see! Isn't that what Jesus said? Come and see? Come and see. Come and see. When the circus came to town, I was amongst the kids that ran out there hoping that I could help work on putting up the tents. I was always too little. I wasn't an elephant trainer. You're useless, kid. But I was out there. You know, I was out there, but I wasn't what they were looking for. The hammer they used for the stakes was bigger than me, but I was out there. There's more to God. I want to be out there. I want to be there. I want to be calling on him and seeking him and praising him and worshiping him. Jesus said, you know, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They knew about God. Jesus showed them the God. And he shows us God too. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the deeper we go, because there's always a deeper place, the better it is. So we don't coast. We strain to attain. We desire to fulfill what we've gained, to enter into that. I mean, this is our desire. Him. And if our knowing him results in a vast number of people that we see, or a vast number of people that we don't realize, but we're aware that everywhere we go, people need to know who he is. That doesn't change. That does not change. And people that have our, when we have our eyes on that, when we have our eyes on that, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people, oh, don't give me that praise the Lord stuff. It doesn't matter if somebody's uncomfortable, if we're just saying God is so good, you know, because that seed's dropping in there. Until maybe they'll be saying something like, do you think you could pray for me? Maybe you've offered to pray for somebody 100 times and they and then all of a sudden one day they say, do you think you could pray for me? You see, we didn't know the timing. But we kept being there. We kept aiming higher. We keep aiming higher. Psalm 5:7 says, but by your great love can I come into your house. I humbly bow down to worship. It's his great love. Last week we looked at the scripture that said that, you know, he won't stay angry. He forgives because he loves and delights in showing his great love. You've got his great love to share as well. So let's just keep aiming higher. Let's keep pressing. Let's not hold on to worthless things. Let's recognize, like Paul did, the things that were so valuable. He said, man, they're dumb. They're nothing compared to this. You know? Nothing compares to the Lord. Nothing compares to the joy that he offers. Nothing compares to what he provides. Nothing compares. And so our sights are not set on earthly things. Earthly things are fine. We just can't let them be our goal. You know? I mean, sometimes people, we can get to an age, most of us are real close to that age, where we start being concerned about having enough. I just got to be able to, you know, get out of this world with enough. I can't get enough Jesus. And I don't have to worry too much about anything else. I mean, really worry about it. But there's a lot of things. We can get concerned about things that if we look at them, we'd say, that's a little crazy for me to be worried about that. You know, I don't have to worry about putting my kids through school. They're done. And it's not my worry about how my grandchildren get through school. My personal preference at this point would be that they'd be through with school sooner than later. Until they get the colleges squared away and what they want to teach, I don't want them to get near one of those places. You know, I'm a little embarrassed about how those things got to where they are, and I didn't even know what was going on. But I should have known. One of my first classes in college was a philosopher. He leaned on his desk, and I don't have any idea what he said. I said, I'm getting my money back for this class. I ain't going to that thing anymore. He was a first-generation brainwasher. My brain was stronger than that, I guess. But anyway, keep aiming higher. Not, but, yeah. Yeah. The circus is in town. The greatest show on earth. Amen? Lord, thank you. You are the greatest show on earth, in heaven, anywhere. You are. You are God, and we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We praise you. Blessed are we because we understand it. There's so many that don't. Help us to help others to aim higher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.